That's for you. I told you I wouldn't do any Beatles music, but I couldn't help myself. I had to do it for Bo and Bob.
You couldn't resist.
I couldn't resist. This is You Get the Blessing. Lou Villarreal. Sorry, Lou.
If you're going to say it right,
know,
would you?
Lou okay. Villarreal.
Yes.
And Chuck King standing in this morning for Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts. They turned the mics over to us again, and so I had to play that Beatles song just for them. Plus, it leads into our guest today. She's a hard worker, and she's been through some tough things. And we're going to be talking with Teresa Mellorragno, the writer of The Integrity Meltdown and well-known public speaker.
You know, maybe we're reading the different book. I thought it was Teresa Mellorragno.
Depends if you have some Italian in you.
It's that other European country. Teresa.
Good morning.
How are you? It's nice to have you on air with us this morning.
Great. Thank you. It's a thrill to be here.
I know you're no stranger to being on air. You do a radio show of your own, and you have a television show. And you're out talking about your book, The Integrity Meltdown. I know that part of the inspiration from the book is the fact that you're a cancer survivor. Tell us how you got from surviving cancer to The Integrity Meltdown.
Well, I tell you, several years ago, I was very busy. I was a corporate executive. I was a mother, a wife, and, you know, really burning the candle at both ends. And I was having some annoying symptoms that sent me to the doctor. And, you know, in one afternoon, my life changed. I really was staring my mortality in the face. And I was young, and the doctor did an examination on me in just a couple of minutes. She told me, you have cancer. You have a tumor the size of a small orange, and it's time for you to get your house in order.
Wow, that had to be a tough day.
It was a tough day. And, you know, it really makes you examine your life, and it makes you examine who's important to you and what's important to you. And for me, it was, who is the person I'm becoming? Who are my children going to remember? What about my business relationships and my relationships in my community and with my family and friends? Who is this person I've become? I need to take a look inside. And unfortunately, it's by truth or trouble, I call it, that it tends to, you know, causes us to examine who we are.
And you were an executive vice president at a construction company at that time, not the kind of environment where people are all soft and huggy, right?
Correct. It was definitely tough duty, for sure.
Well, Lou and I have talked off air about the fact that there's such a need for people, for role models for young people today, and you are truly a role model. Lou, do we need women role models out there?
We sure do. I have two daughters, and, you know, I think that a man can provide some of that modeling, but ultimately they're girls. They need other women, women that would exude different qualities, godly qualities. And, you know, in my own life, I've tried to, when I find different women that I'm just impressed by, I will suggest to my daughters, go and meet with this gal or that individual. So they can speak into your life. And so, indeed, we need people with integrity.
Well, thank you. It's quite a privilege and very humbling for you to say that. But, you know, if anything that I've done, you know, helps someone else, then I want to do that. I want to be there to be an example. Not that I'm perfect, but if there's anything I can do, and that's why I wrote the book. If there's something that helps someone else, then I want to be in that place.
But you know, Teresa, in my experience, I don't think everyone would say that. I don't know if everybody thinks about, I want to be a good role model. I want to give what I've learned, pass on the lessons on to somebody else? How did you get to that point where you decided that's important to you?
Well, I think when I, you know, thank God, survived cancer. I mean, the odds were against me. And it was at that point I realized, you know, it's not all about me. Mm-hmm. What can I offer someone else, starting it in my own home with my children and with other people? And there is such a sense of satisfaction when you're helping someone who maybe is confused. You know, they say, if you're confused, don't look inside yourself. You're the one who's confused. So go to other people who maybe have a lesson that they can share.
Teresa, what's the main teaching of this book?
You know, the main teaching of the Integrity Meltdown is the fact that there's a real moral collapse in this country. And it really permeates everything. I mean, we can't read the newspaper or listen to the news without hearing of some egregious behavior by a business leader or a politician or in the community or in our families, things like high-profile infidelity or Ponzi schemes or corporate scandal. I mean, you know, we're not even shocked when we hear of these things. And I thought, if I can add some value to someone who's maybe struggling with a decision, then I want to help.
Have you had some good reception regarding your book and people who've said, boy, I've needed that?
Well, I really have, Lou. It's been very exciting. And, you know, the topic of integrity isn't new. Everyone
right.
knows that it means doing the right thing. But what about in a specific company? Or in government, when there's a little bit of an ethical decay, and you're really not sure where to make the decision, that's where I believe the book will help.
Wow.
Teresa was one of the speakers at our Colorado Christian University's Values Aligned Leadership Summit last year. And as you know, Lou, I teach at Colorado Christian University, and we're continually in search of role models for the next generation of leaders. And I was so impressed by this book and Teresa's thoughts about it. Early in the book, she quotes from Ezekiel 34, where it says, "Because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock." And that's a mantra for corporate America today. The people who are in charge of corporations today are looking out for, way too many of them are looking out for themselves and not for the people that they're supposed to be caring for the corporation for.
Exactly. It's the elitist value system. It really is, you know, who are you behind the curtains?
And, you know, we have attempted through the law, of course, the law, my background is in law, and the laws are society's attempt to codify morality, but you really can't do that. People are going to find ways around the law. It's a matter of the heart. The reason pornography is the largest business in the world today doesn't have to do with the law. It doesn't have to do with the economic system. It has to do with that's what the demand is because that's what consumers want. It's the hearts of men.
You know, Chuck, in Psalms 51:6, it says, David says to the Lord, "Surely you desire truth in the inner parts, inside, not what comes out, but inside." And the scripture says that a man speaks from what is in the heart. So in the inner parts is what's important. I think that's why the book is so good.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's true. We have substituted legality for morality. And so, you know, I kind of look at it like a ring that you wear, a ring with a diamond in it or a jewel of some kind. To me, the jewel represents ethics and the law. But the ring itself that holds it up is integrity. And so that in its entireness, I mean, that's the complete definition of integrity, the ethics of the jewel and the ring holding it in place.
So it's those that part of your being that says I'm going to act ethically on a continual basis. This is not just a principle. It's not just a sometimes thing.
Right, right. It actually comes from inside you because what you said, I mean, Lou, I believe that what's on the inside of you, it's naturally going to work its way to the surface. And it's going to drive your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it's going to drive your actions and ultimately your achievements.
Well, you know, and when you, again, that passage says you desire truth in the inner parts. And it continues. He says, you teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Ultimately, you're right. It's going to work itself out. And when you don't have to keep false stories hidden, you're really free. Mm-hmm. You can live life fully. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to live.
Lou, you gave me a book recently that I've just started reading called The Death of Character. And in that book, the author talks about in 1876, Ralph Waldo Emerson talked about integrity. And he described it as that character of undemonstrable force within us that makes us do the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that's something we really need to impart. As I said earlier, Teresa spoke at our Values Aligned Leadership Summit, and our concept there is that there are no companies out there who have mission statements that say they're going to go out and lie, steal, and cheat. Their mission statements are all good, but then they put systems and policies in place that cause the employees to do things other than what their mission statement says.
Exactly. And, you know, we have to look at this as a society. I mean, you know, there may be business leaders who make decisions based out of arrogance or dishonesty, but what about the rest of the people in the ranks? I mean, we have to be the ones who say, this isn't right, and I'm going to look myself in the mirror. I'm going to look my spouse in the mirror. I'm going to be able to answer to God to say, I know that I'm doing the right thing.
You know, Teresa, it's election time, and I was reading a few articles on Sunday in the Post, and you know, so much of these races are undergirded by technology, how you get the messages out, Twitter, Facebook. And as I was reading articles, I was thinking, golly, it just seemed like when someone posts a certain message, and I don't know anything about this. I don't know anything about it. I've never even, you know, done anything with Twitter. But after a few messages or after a few messages that you propagate or push forward, when you read them down the line, it's not the same words that were expressed, you know, at the first Twitter. And it just seems like stories can just get out of control and they become false stories. And people pick one word and they kind of extrapolate from there. And I can see where technology can kind of work it, kind of chip away at integrity. What do you think about that?
I do believe that is true with, you know, people transferring a story. But see, you have to understand that it's clouded by our personal agendas. When people are trying to, you know, they're not really interested in teamwork. They're interested in winning. But I think we have to be very careful that, you know, before we hit that send button, we have to make sure that it is rooted in truth and honesty.
Mm-hmm. Boy, and there are people out there watching. It's, as I said earlier, Lou and I are deeply concerned about the next generation of leaders. That's what we're investing our lives in. Lou's the founder and director of Save Our Youth, which is in the business of trying to find mentors for young people, because the lives they're seeing on air, the lives they're seeing in the papers, and the lives they're seeing around them are not consistent. They don't have integrity. And we're looking for role models for people that say, you know, integrity is there. It does work. And we're talking with Teresa Melaragno. Sorry. See, you got me messed up, Lou.
It's Lou's fault.
Melaragno.
Yes. We're talking with Teresa Melaragno about her book, The Integrity Meltdown. And Teresa, one of the things I really like about the book is the holistic nature of it. It starts talking about corporations, and then it talks about integrity in the community, in the government, in the businesses, in the family, and finally down to children. Tell me about integrity and children.
You know, I think that it's our responsibility as parents to really teach children the value of right and wrong, not just necessarily doing the right thing. Yes, that starts when they're young, but it has to be a hallmark. It has to be the bedrock of everything that we teach them. It has to begin with integrity. And I think we, as busy parents, I mean, I am one, I realize we're burning the candle at both ends. And so we rely on the church or we rely on schools, but it starts with us in the home. we're the ones that have to show our children the right way.
And unfortunately, increasingly, we've begun to rely upon the government for those moral teachings. Lou, how do you teach a young person integrity, a person who comes from a home where there's no dad? And
well, let me turn the question. I was just about to ask the same question of Teresa, and then I'll answer it, my answer. But, Teresa, the message of integrity, the message of integrity with children, are they receptive to that message from adults?
I believe that children are receptive, that we're born with, this innate quality of being able to do what's good. We want to seek what's good and right. And, you know, you might disagree with me if you have a 2-year-old, but I think that it is true that we can teach them that they are receptive, that they do have kindness and gentleness toward each other, and they can have. And so we really need to manifest that and show them the way.
But we're also born with that little problem of original sin, which makes us want to be selfish and take care of ourselves first, like the shepherds in the Ezekiel passage that you have in your book.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think in a quiet moment, I like that phrase. I don't know where I found that phrase, but in a quiet moment, when no one is looking, when you're just contemplating your life, I think you want some guidance. You want the right frame of reference. I remember a young girl that still with us in our mentoring program. She's now, she's been with us for about 15 years. She's older now. She's about 25, 26. And she lived a life that was out of control, but she came to us and she said, this is the only life I know. And we couldn't find her for weeks, and she would be with different young men. But she said, I'm not happy about my life, but this is the only life I know. Someone has to tell me. And if no one tells me, I'm going to continue doing the best I know. And that was the best she knew.
Right. And I applaud you for what you're doing in your ministry. And I do believe children want boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And as parents, we don't want to give them boundaries because we want to be their friend. Well, I say we need to be a parent. And we need to give them boundaries because that shows them that you love them and care about them, and you're doing what's best for their well-being.
You know, I think what it prompts me to think, Teresa, is that integrity many times is a hard-fought battle. It's a battle. And we're trying to hold on to truth. We're trying to hold on to what is right, what is honest. And it doesn't come easily. It is a spiritual battle. We're fighting. And we were talking the other day in our men's group at Narrow Gate that there's only one winner, truth. Or non-truth. It isn't that if you don't take a stand, you'll be fine. No, someone's going to win. Something is going to win, and we want truth to win out.
Right, we do. And, you know, there's a lot of great things in the Bible about that. That has to be our foundation, right?
I'm interested in what seasoned executives' response to this book is, because, as I said, one of the things I love about it is so holistic. It talks about the family. It talks about the corporation. It talks about professional life. But I think one of the problems we have in trying to mentor young people is we say one thing to them, and in our business lives, we do something different. What have seasoned corporate executives told you about your book?
Well, it really I've received a lot of favorable comments, and really some people that are taking the book and really comparing it to a project that they're working on currently that kind of gives them some advice and brings them back to what is the right thing. Because if we do that, then we don't have to worry about the long-term benefit. You know, we want the short-term benefit. We want the immediate win. But we have to look at where integrity lies for the long term.
You know, I was with a group of Christian CEOs not so long ago. And one of these CEOs had been in a privately held company. It was a family company for many years, and it's a very, very large company and has become a publicly traded company. And he was in tears, and he said, you know, I want to do the right thing for my employees, but the fact is I'm measured on a quarterly basis by the stock price. And if I do anything that immediately affects the current stock price, they're going to find a new CEO. Mm-hmm. And I'm not able to make long-term decisions the way I want to. How do we deal with that problem?
Boy, that is quite a problem because you're right. Job performance, it's measured by that stock price. And, it could be that those short-term benefits, you know, they end. And there's stories in the book, actually, about that very issue and how if we really want longevity in success, that the only way is to be able to make those right decisions.
Chuck, just let me remind the listeners that we're listening to You Get the Blessing, a program that highlights the lives of people who are making a difference. Today we have Teresa Melaragno. There you go.
Melaragno, Lou.
There you go.
Melaragno.
Either way,
Melaragno.
You have to like pasta.
There you go. And Chuck King and myself, Luis Villarreal, are sitting here. We're sitting in for Bo Mitchell and Pastor Bob Belts, the regular radio host. So we're glad to be here and to hear from the expertise in the heart of Teresa, who's has a great book on integrity. And it's good to have you here, Teresa. And so you're getting good feedback. What about any younger generation people reading this book, and what are they saying?
You know, I actually received an email yesterday from a young woman who is really impressed, and you know, I say that as humbly as possible. Yes. Because it's not that I'm so great; it's just that I've had some experiences that I can share with other people. So it's just a thrill to be able to be a role model.
That's good.
One of the chapters in the book is fascinating, called Integrity, Use It or Lose It. I'm interested in that concept.
Well, I believe that if we really have to understand that it's the only way we can have success in anything. It permeates every single part of our life. And, you know, you do use it, or if you don't use it, you do lose it, because you think, oh, well, I got away with this, so then the next thing I do, it's probably okay, because nobody will catch that. And then, you know, it's just a gradual decay of ourself.
Most ethical breaches don't take place in an instant. They're incremental over time.
Exactly.
And you're exactly right. So examining your conduct and examining what you do on a daily basis is important, which leads me to another fascinating. I love some of the titles of your chapters. One of them is Integrity of the Person in the Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at ourselves honestly. Tell us about that.
Well, sometimes we look for our standard to be the media or someone else in a leadership position. And I think we have to stop and examine, how are we treating our spouse? How do we treat our children? What about at work? Or in government, or all those things. Let's take a look and measure ourselves against the moral standard.
Lou, I've talked to your spouse, and she says that you treat her quite well.
Way to go,
That's
Lou.
That's exactly right.
As a matter of fact, my wife said...
Tell me what else she told
my
you
My wife
about
said,
me.
Can you learn some things from Lou?
You know, Chuck and Teresa, the thing about not doing things right, you know, I've spent my whole career with people who've struggled quite a bit. And at some point, they've made so many wrong decisions that they become convinced that they can no longer be salvaged by God, that God does not care for them anymore. And our lesson was always to get them, to draw them close to Christ, to know that He is the truth, to know how to live right. And to be convinced that even when we do commit sin, commit wrong things, that God still is there waiting to forgive you and to get you back on path. But I think so much of making wrong decisions at some point will result in becoming convinced that we're no longer salvageable.
Well, when you're working with people like that, as you do on a regular basis, Lou, consistency is so important, because it takes a long time to turn around that view of self that says, you know, I'm totally worthless. And you can't do it in one meeting, can you?
Can't do it in one meeting. The message of integrity, the message of truth, the message of controlling your life according to truth keeps you from being out of control. And being out of control is a pretty difficult state to be in, a tough life to live.
And when you talk, Teresa, about integrity, use it or lose it, that's one of the things that came to my mind, is that you can do things over and over and over doing it the right way, and you make one mistake, and that's what everybody sees, and it's like you lose all the points that you put in the bank already.
Right. Isn't that sad?
We even in the Christian community, I don't think we're so good at giving people second chances.
Gosh, well, I wish we're all perfect.
Yeah, that's right. Well, one of us is perfect, and I'm not going to say who it is. Well, you've been listening to You Get the Blessing, a program that highlights the lives of people who are making a difference. We've been here for this half hour with Teresa Malaragno. I got that right, Chuck.
Teresa Malaragno and her book, The Integrity Meltdown.
My name is Luis Villarreal, sitting in here for Bo Mitchell and Chuck King, sitting in for Bob Belts, your regular radio host. We're thankful that you're here with us today. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.
It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find